Welcome back to the Back in Five podcast. My name is Sean Clark. I'm joined with Pastor Brad Belcher once again, and we are continuing on in our Gospel of Mark series, Who Do You Say I Am? And we've been in the series since September, and we're nearing the end of it. I mean, we're right at the end.
It's almost over, Sean.
Yeah, so we are in chapter 15. This last week, we're chapter 15, verses 16 through 41, and then we'll finish up the series on Easter Sunday. Next week, we're actually going to be having the choir cantata concert, and we'd love to have you out there for that. But so let's talk about this last week. We talked about the trial last week, and now he's actually being condemned and sentenced over to death. So talk us through the passage. What were some of the things that we saw here?
Well, there are three major things that we see from the passage. First of all, Jesus has made a mockery for us. Mm. Secondly, we pointed out that he made himself a sacrifice for us. And then lastly, we see that he has made the way for us. So the first part, of course, opens up with this mocking of the soldiers, or by the soldiers, of Jesus, as the authorities, in this case Pilate, has given Jesus over to these soldiers to be dealt with and prepared for crucifixion.
Hmm. And you know what was so interesting is that you made a point toward the end of this little section here, verses 16 through 20, this is the first time I think I realized it, when they put their clothes back on him, all this was taking place privately. So kind of talk us through that, because that was interesting to me, because I've read the passage, dozens and dozens of times, but I realized that this is all taking place behind closed doors, and they're trying to hide this. So what happened?
Yeah, they've moved inside the palace with Jesus, and, you have this whole battalion, which could be anywhere between 200 and 600 soldiers, who are prepping Jesus to be crucified. And there's a series of ways that they mock him, whether it's clothing him with the purple cloak, dressing him up as the king, the crown of thorns, hail King of the Jews, when these soldiers would have previously been saying, hail Caesar. Hmm. And then they start abusing him in verse 19. They're pummeling his head, they're spitting on him. And then, to add insult to injury, they're now kneeling in front of him and, bowing down to this mock king they're making fun of. And then when it's all said and done, this little caveat in verse 20, where it says they stripped him of the purple cloak and put his own clothes on him, and they let him out to be crucified. Mm. And it's like, okay, we got to clean this up. Let's put, let's not take him out in this robe stuff in front of everybody,
right?
Because we don't want people knowing what we were doing here.
Yeah, it's such a crazy little clause there, and then when they put his own clothes back on him, they let him out to crucify. Like, all this stuff was taking place privately in secret, and I would never do that. I would never do that. And then you made the point, it's like, but don't we all belittle Jesus? Don't we all in some ways make a mockery of his kingship and his sovereignty, his royalty, his reputation, his person? So even though we might not physically do these things, so talk briefly about that.
Well, we go to church on Sunday and we lift him up as our King and our Lord, and then we live against him during the week, and sometimes 30 minutes after the service, we're already cursing at the guy in front of us in traffic, and like, what are we doing?
Right. Yeah.
And then on top of this, with this idea of hiding, there's a lot of sin that we do that we hide.
Yeah.
We want to bury it. We don't want people to know what we've been up to.
Yeah. So we find ourselves in the passage, unfortunately, trying to hide, just like they did, trying to cover it up. But the passage goes on. In one way, it's extremely hopeful, because I don't want to be the one that dies on the cross. I don't want to be... I can't make a way for myself, but that's kind of where the passage is going to lead us to. So he made himself a sacrifice for us.
Right, and we see the elements of the sacrifice as the passage unfolds, starting in verse 21, where we see that he sacrifices his strength. He sacrifices his dignity as his clothes are stripped from him again, and now they're gambling for his garments. Hmm. And then we see he sacrifices his position as he lowered himself, being of the same essence as the Father, and yet now being numbered with thieves and robbers with two crosses on each side of him. And he sacrifices his power, where he's now getting jeered at, verse 29 through 32, where, hey, you know, he saved others. He cannot save himself. And, you know, but he could have done anything right at that moment to change the whole situation. And yet he sets his power aside for us that we might have life. And he's forsaken and he dies. And, you know, it's a tough passage to preach. On the one hand, like you said, Sean, it does bring a great amount of hope, but at the same token, we're just reminded of someone had to go through all this for us.
There was a price that had to be paid, a wrath that had to be absorbed. And we don't think the biblical authors shied away from that wrath at all.
No.
I mean, you can see it dramatically portrayed in all the gospel accounts of
the crucifixion. It's a graphic portrayal, a graphic depiction of what we should have endured because of our rebellion.
Yeah.
And now here's Jesus taking on the sins of the world as he makes a way for us, as we see lastly here in verse 38, this remarkable truth that the curtain in the temple is now torn in two from top to bottom. And, you know, it's just kind of thrown in there between 37 and 39. Mm-hmm. By the way, the curtain's torn in two.
Yeah, that's kind of a big deal.
It's huge because that was into the inner sanctuary, the Holy of Holies, where here Jesus has made the way, not a way, but the way for us to be able to come before God through Christ, to have access to the throne room. What an incredible gift. What an incredible gracious gesture in terms of all that Christ has accomplished for us, and we so desperately need it.
And you know, one of the cool things about the narrative, the narrative as a whole, all 16 chapters, is the tagline for our series is, "Who do you say I am?" Like, that's what we've been trying to wrestle with, like, okay, who is this Jesus? Because you get a clear indication of who he is when he's baptized. The Father says, "This is my beloved Son, you know, with him I'm pleased, listen to him." You finally get Peter to make a confession, but he's still not understanding what the Messiah would go through. He says, "You're the Christ," but he doesn't quite understand. That's when the narrative turns, because then Jesus starts to explain how he's going to go through suffering. And finally, in chapter 15, verse 39, like, one of the only guys that gets it is a Roman centurion. He says,
"Right,
truly, like, now that I see, like, truly, this is the Son of God."
Right, and what a beautiful sentiment. And, you know, can we say that?
Right. I think that's what we're being led to when we answer that question. Who do you say he is? What's your evaluation as you see things unfolding?
Wow, powerful passage, man.
Yeah, so we're really looking forward to closing this thing out on Easter morning. We are in the midst of planning an awesome God-glorifying service. We're really excited to have you out. We have two services, one at 9:30, one at 11, and we'd love to have you out for that. This weekend, though, we'd love to have you out either Saturday night at 6:30 or Sunday morning at 11 a.m. Our adult worship choir is going to be leading us through a worship experience based off of 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. For Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God. So it's going to be a wonderful time of worship, and we hope you come out for that.
We'd love to see you there.
All right, we'll see you guys. Bye.